I should have come to rehearsal. So I would have seen that one coming. Wow. There's tissues around, so just ask somebody to pass them to you. Whew. I don't know if you saw the title of the talk. If you got here early enough, it's Who Am I to Judge? Hence that perfect selection. So I guess let's just get this clear right away. If you have never judged anyone in your life, ever, you may leave, because this talk is not for you. And everybody's staying, so we will proceed. We judge each other. We do it. It's a natural part of being a human. It's one of our unfortunate qualities, but it comes to us naturally because it's easy. It's the path of least resistance. It's easier to judge somebody than it is to try to understand somebody. And that's the truth. I'm going to talk about a lot of reasons why we judge, but one of the first reasons that we judge is because we're lazy. We're lazy. Yeah, we don't want to use the mind power to get more information. We don't want to use the spiritual power to live in our higher self. And so we judge. And yet we try to teach our children not to judge. And so then we have to watch the words we say, and then not watching the words we say is the easier path. Just blurt it out. I do it. And guess who's called me on it? My own children. Because they're trying to live a higher path. And one of the things about being their age is that they know so much, that they will call out hypocrisy whenever they see it. God bless them. But they're right. They're right. Those of you that don't know, I have twins that are 22. Remember when you were 22? I believe I kind of did the same thing myself with my own parents. We usually judge other people because we want to feel better about ourselves, don't we? We wouldn't admit that in the moment because think about the process. The anatomy of judging someone else goes like this. Here's the judgment thought I have about somebody else. And then our higher self might kick in and say, wow, you are judging that person right now. And then our mind gets busy trying to convince us why it's okay that we're making that judgment. Because it's true. It's observable. It's behavior we don't like. They deserve it. That's a good one, isn't it? They deserve my judgment. Wow. We do that. Well, if they wouldn't act that way, I wouldn't judge them. I'm just kind of spilling out. I'm opening up the bag of garbage right here, you know, because let's go ahead and take care of it. Let's get done with it. Why don't we? So we start out trying to feel better about ourselves, and so we judge another person. And the example that I believe you saw in the summary about what this talk was going to be about compared it to being a parent. And if you've been a parent or if you have acted as a parent toward children, it's real easy to judge other parents, because the first thing that happens when you have children or children are in your care is your immediate sense of inadequacy, your immediate sense of having no clue what you're doing, your immediate sense of being fairly certain that you're going to screw it up. And so what comes with all of that is guilt. So now it's easy to find another target of somebody who's doing it worse than we are, so that we can say, oh, see, I'm doing pretty well, actually, because look at them. So we can apply that to any situation in which we judge people. I'm judging that guy on the street corner because, by golly, he could go get himself a job. I've got a job. Oh, man. We're a mess. We're just a beautiful, imperfect mess. Because we all do this. Why am I talking about this in church on a Sunday? Scripturally, judge not, lest ye be judged. How is that for some King James language for you? Notice that Jesus didn't judge people. He had discernment about them. He was able to be able to see the act of a person without judging a person. Big difference. You know that thing about hate the sin, not the sinner? I'm sure we can all find lots of sins to hate. But we kind of roll the sinner in there with it. We're about discovering, uncovering, bringing to the surface, expressing our highest self, our spark of divinity, our Christ spirit. Well, that's what we're about. And everything that stands in the way of that, we are working on moving through it, discovering it and moving through it, healing it, shifting our behavior. That's why we talk about these things in church. This is practical Christianity. If you just want somebody to tell you what to do all the time, there's another church or two or 17 out there for you. But we challenge ourselves here to take that honest and fearless look inside ourselves to say, oh yeah, I do that. But the same spirit that is longing to express through us, as us, is also available to help us heal those places in our lives where we're less than ideal in the way we would like to behave. Because you know when you judge, you have that little bit of guilty pleasure for just a second, then you go, ooh. Maybe I wouldn't have wanted, you know, people I admire the most to have heard me say that. And I'll tell you, one of the things that we're starting to do in our Wednesday night class, we have some accountability with each other so that we can lovingly assist each other when we catch ourselves in icky behavior. Let's just call it that. I could call it other things, but in church, we're going to call it icky behavior. We judge other people usually because we have some kind of buried shame in ourselves. And if we can see somebody who's doing things worse than we are, more unenlightened than we are, because we're really smart spiritual people. If we see somebody not doing it in the most enlightened way, it's usually because we've got something in ourselves that's not quite healed. Something that we're ashamed of in ourselves. And shame is so toxic. You know it is. We've been talking about it. And it is a key part in our healing, our judgmental nature, is to acknowledge our own shame. Now, just as I will say that there are medical advances that make it much easier for us to be treated than, say, 50 years ago, there are also psychological, psycho-spiritual ways for us to be healed that are more advanced than they were 50 years ago. So let's take advantage of those things. Let's find those ways that we can identify where we feel ashamed. So one way you can do that is when you judge somebody, turn right back around and say, wonder what it is I'm carrying around that made me act like that. I wonder what area I have not yet healed in myself that I feel the need to have an ugly thought about somebody else. Because our ideal would be to be generous with all people, all the time, everywhere. A generosity of thought. We're going to talk about that next week. We don't have to do this by ourselves, my friends. We have all these tools that you see on the wall, the walls around you here. We have all these tools living in us to help us heal the unhealed things. And shame is one of those things. Brené Brown says, staying out of judgment means being aware of where we are, the most vulnerable to our own shame, our own struggle. The good news is that we don't judge in areas where we feel a strong sense of self-worth and grounded confidence. So the more of that we build, the more we let go of judgment. Do you know one of the reasons that we judge people is because we don't have all the information and we think we do? We don't know what any other individual is going through at any particular point in their lives. We don't know what their history is. We don't know if they had an argument with their beloved earlier in that day and that's making them a little more interior and a little more disagreeable. We don't know. We don't know somebody's history. And yet we will jump in there and decide that we know. Decide that we know and make a judgment about it. And we have lost the opportunity to be close to another human being. And as you feel guided, you may want to say to that person, how are you doing today? Is there anything that I can do to support you? You know, that is a really good question we can ask somebody without assuming anything. Is there any way that I can support you today? And then if somebody asks you that question, you have the opportunity to say something other than, oh, no, I'm fine. I'm just fine. I'm really fine. I'm great. I'm just great. No, I'm fine. See ya. So we have the opportunity to take advantage of people who would support us. And we have the opportunity to say, is there anything I can do to support you today? Or sometimes just a loving touch, a hug if they're open to it. A way to make them smile. You know, you saying about the guy on the street corner. Sometimes I don't make eye contact with them because I don't want them coming to my window. But sometimes I do make eye contact with them because I want them to know that somebody sees them. I don't have to give them anything except a loving glance to say there's another human being who's struggling. We could do that. And then if they come to your window and you don't want to deal with them, don't roll it down. Think about it this way. When we judge somebody else, does it change them? Not one bit. If we don't judge somebody else, does it change them? Maybe. and maybe not. But maybe if they felt something coming from us other than judgment, it might open up a space in them to know that they're loved. I'll tell you this. If you judge somebody else, does it change you? Yeah. Yeah, it makes that little place that's expansive in you kind of just shrink right down. If you don't judge someone else, does that change you? You betcha. It sure does. So how do we do this? How do we do this when we have judgment about another person? And don't kid yourself. You know the difference between making an observation and judging. Because usually we follow it up by saying something like, I'm just saying. Or, now I'm not judging, but. So catch yourself. Catch yourself and just go, wow, I just judged that person so hard. I didn't have to say a word. It was all in my own mind. I made up the story. I made up their backstory. I decided what they're like, and I made a judgment about it, and I have totally shut myself off from that human being. That's the Jesus way, isn't it? What would Jesus do? Not that. Not that. So just stop yourself and say, oh, yeah, okay, I just made a judgment. Maybe there's more to the story than I can currently see. Just maybe. You say, wow, I do not want to live that way. Forgive my unknowing self so that I might live fully and clearly. The other thing that we can do is we can ask others for help. Hang on. I lost my note here. Here we go. Have you ever asked for somebody's help and felt them judge you about it? Has somebody ever asked you for help and you kind of judge them for asking you for help? One of the things Brené Brown says, we're studying the book Dare to Lead, by the way. One of the things she says is that in organizations, if somebody is not sure how to do something and they don't ask for help, nobody ever helps them, and they never have the opportunity to move on and do something higher and better. They're just stuck where they are because they're afraid of being judged. So what if we had an opportunity to have a partner or partners in our lives in which this is the scenario? I can ask for what I need, and you can ask for what you need. We can talk about how we feel without judgment. We can ask each other for help without judgment. That's one of the other ways that we can move out of being such judgmental people, is we can ask for help. So if you're in it with somebody, if you're like in it, you know what I mean? In it, going at it, there is a way that you can say, help me understand. I'm asking for your help here so that I can understand you better. Gosh, that kind of diffuses the situation, doesn't it? Hopefully. I don't want to have to explain to you how I feel. That can happen too, but hopefully when you open up that space and say, help me understand. Help me to understand you. Help me to understand what's hurting you right now. You know, I started my career as a woman in my 20s, you know, when you're climbing that career ladder, back in the time that was just post-women's movement, Bella Abzug and Gloria Steinem, and so women in the workplace were trying to act like guys, because that's the way women thought they had to get ahead, was to act like men. Yeah, padded shoulders, yes, thank you, Mike, I saw that. Yeah, padded shoulders, man, we were squared off. And I'll tell you what, I worked for a couple of woman bosses that I would have, oh, golly, never mind, I'm judging them. I had a really bad experience. And if I look back, I bet the more to the story is that they were scared to death. So they had to be tough. Tougher than they had to be in order to be perceived as proficient and professional. And man, that was not a safe place to ask for help. But had it been, and I could have said, I am not performing well in this part of my job. Please help me to do it better. Show me how to do it better. And I could have asked that question without being judged. The ideal response would have been, oh, I see you're struggling, and I need the numbers to look better too, so let's help each other out. Gosh, wouldn't that have been nice? Maybe I'll just jump in that time machine and go back about 40 years and see if I can do it a little differently. So here's, above all, in our non-judgment, we can just stop for a moment before we just blast somebody with our ungenerous thought and just breathe and say, is there more to this story than I can see? What is it in me that is causing me to feel like I have to judge somebody else? And we can ask for help with our own indwelling spirit. Reveal that which needs to be revealed, Spirit. Heal that which needs to be healed. I'm calling it forth right now so that I might be the person in the world that shows what the Christ Spirit looks like. Just imagine all the energy you'd save not judging other people. So, let's take a moment just to breathe. We have a big meeting coming up this afternoon after church. A meeting in which we're going to maybe get to practice what we're talking about this morning. And so if you're staying or not staying today, as you breathe, will you just breathe the light of God into every single corner of this facility? I want to hear you breathing. Breathing is the way the light gets in and the light gets out. Oh, beloved, if I did not know that your heart was absolutely ready for the next challenge to be healed, I would not speak these words. if I did not know that my heart was ready for this next piece of healing, I would not speak these words. And so whether you've been here for many, many years or this is your first day here, we are one people united in spirit. And will you just let the love light in your heart extend silently and invisibly to every single person in this room, to our young people, to our children. To all the living things that move about on this property, to the skies above us. Know that even now, that soft place in your heart is being touched by the hand of Spirit. Know that even now, those places in your mind which would move automatically and suddenly and unconsciously into judging another and being less than generous, right now your mind is being touched. So open yourself to healing. It's already present. And keep breathing, breathing and breathing. And know that the God of all life, your Creator, is never away from your side at any moment. Never. And so for the gifts of forgiveness, and for the redemption of things that we have done and things that we will do, for the higher urge to live a life more fully realized, we give thanks for these things. Let your heart be filled with gratitude, for all is well. And all is well. And all is very well. And so it is. Amen.